Open your Bibles to the book of Mark, if you would, and once you found your place, if you would, stand with me. Mark chapter 9, and I want to begin reading at verse number 41. And I want to preach a message this morning, or this evening, on the subject of who goes to hell. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believeth in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Let's pray. Lord, I'm glad that we can come together this evening and study from the Word of God. And Lord, certainly there is no more sobering subject in all of the Bible than the subject of hell. And Lord, I believe that it's a current goal, an attempt of Satan to steal the doctrine of hell, what the Bible teaches about hell in our generation. For certainly it would cause many to be much more comfortable in their sin if they believe that when they do die, there is no such place as hell. And yet even in the text we just read, Lord, we read that hell is real. We read that it's an awful place and certainly a place to avoid. And yet the Bible tells us very clearly that there are many that go in thereat. There are many that will travel the broad way into hell. God, I pray that it would be none that's sitting in this sanctuary tonight, that all will have trusted Christ either by this point in time or by the end of this message, they would receive Christ as their own personal Savior. And Lord, just work in the hearts of your people as I preach this message. May we not buy into this modern notion that no one can know who is going to hell. May we understand clearly from the Scriptures who is headed to hell, and may we take steps to try to reach them for the cause of Christ. And God may even cause us to examine our own lives this evening as I preach this message. And may we ensure that we are in the faith. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Undoubtedly, you have heard of what some prominent preachers have said about hell. Sometimes when they are asked point blank about who will go there, they waver and they act a little bit uncertain. They appear afraid of being marginalized or misunderstood or perhaps ridiculed by the media and by skeptics, and therefore they do not give a biblical answer. And I'm referring to men like Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, and I know I've got an article somewhere that lists an assortment of others who have openly denied the literalness of hell. And I did everything to find that article, but at this point in time I couldn't. But I know that I've probably presented much of that information before in this assembly, and just know that there is a great deal of evangelical preachers that deny what the Bible says about hell. Men who know exactly what the Bible says about the subject, and yet when they're asked a question in regards to it, they don't give a biblical answer. Instead, they skirt around the issue. Doesn't the Bible relate to us who it is that will go to hell? And if so, then is it too hard to answer this type of question? I mean, if the Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice, then all we need to do in response to a question such as, who goes to hell, is open up the pages of the Scripture and see what it has to say. And that's what I want to do, really just give a Bible study this evening on who the Bible says goes to hell. And I know the immediate response that most of you would give if you were asked that question is, you know, well, those who have not believed, who have not trusted in Christ, are those who go to hell. And you would be right in saying so. In John 3:36, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I mean, that verse makes it rather simple, doesn't it? If you believe on the Son, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. If you don't believe on him, then the wrath of God awaits you in hell. 1 John 5:22 also presents it in a very simple manner. It says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, if he is not your personal Savior, you don't have eternal life. Instead, you only have the lake of fire to look forward to. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely, asking him to save you, he saves you. You become one of his own. But if you don't receive him as your Savior, you're not a child of God. You're a child of wrath. Romans 4, that chapter in the Bible that gives to us the Holy Ghost illustration of saving faith through the man Abraham. What does it say of him? And even ask the question, what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. All he had to do was believe God. And as a result, he was saved. And so then, the flip side of that, the negative would be, if you don't believe God and what he has said and recorded to us about his Son, Jesus Christ, you're not saved and you're headed for hell. Because verse 23 of that chapter says, now this was not written for his sake alone. It wasn't written for just Abraham's sake, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So again, you look at these passages like John 3:36, like 1 John 5:12, like Romans chapter 4, and yes, it's very clear that those who have not believed, who have not trusted in Jesus Christ, are going to hell. But yet, I want to look at this in a different manner. I want to look at some specific individuals or type of individuals that the Bible says will go to hell. And you know, if maybe Billy Graham and Joel Osteen and some of these other guys that deny the literalness of hell would do a similar Bible study, then they could give a much more specific, a much more thorough answer the next time someone asks them, who goes to hell? And so to begin with, I want to turn back to the book of Proverbs, starting in chapter number 5. You can turn there with me if you'd like, or just take notes. But Proverbs chapter 5, I'm going to look at three different chapters here, chapter 5, chapter 7, and chapter 9. That used to be a store in the mall, didn't it? 5, 7, and 9. It was probably named after the strange woman, who's also talked about in 5, 7, and 9. Maybe that's where they got that. I don't know. But here it says in verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, her mouth is smoother than oil. She knows how to use her lips to seduce a man. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Everything's fun up front, but it's the end that leads to destruction. Her feet, notice this, verse 5, this is the verse. Her feet go down to death. her steps take hold on Him. She'll lead you straight to hell. That's what the Bible's saying. If you follow the strange woman, she will lead you straight to hell. And notice in verse 6 it says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. She changes the way she interacts with you to keep you guessing, to keep you interested. Lest you take the time to think about what you're doing and how it's wrong. She'll pressure you. She'll press you. Because she'll gladly take you to hell with her. Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7. Of course, this entire chapter is about the strange woman and how the simpleton, the young man that's void of understanding, just goes across her path because he lacks wisdom. In verse 27, let me just read that verse instead of reading the whole chapter. It says, her house, speaking of the strange woman, is the way to hell. And so a young man, or an old man for that matter, that visits the house of the strange woman, he's headed to hell. Who goes to hell? The person who follows after the strange woman. Her house, it says, is the way to hell. Not the way of life. Remember the last verse. Lest you ponder the way of life. She's movable. That's one direction. The house of the strange woman is the other. Her house is on the way to hell. And in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 18. It says, but he knoweth not, the one that's following after the strange woman, he knoweth not that the dead are there, there at her house, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. A very sobering warning to every simpleton. Don't follow after the strange woman, because the kind of person that follows after a strange woman is the kind of person that is headed for hell. Matthew chapter 5 then, Matthew chapter 5. Again, the question we're attempting to answer through this simple Bible study is, who goes to hell? Well, the man that follows after the strange woman goes to hell. Here in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 22, I believe we find that the man that is angry without a cause is in danger of going to hell. Notice verse 21. It says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. And let me just say something about this context, and in our study of the book of Matthew we will come to this and we will elaborate upon this in depth. But me and the children, we've been going through it as well, and so we're kind of a little bit ahead of our study here at the church, and we've talked about this. And if you look at the context that precedes this, you'll find that the last thing that Jesus said to those that was listening to him here in his sermon was, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm sure that that was a very surprising statement to the disciples of the Lord and to the other people that were listening to this sermon, because they esteemed the Pharisees as highly spiritual. But that's because they were looking at just the externals of the Pharisees, looking at the outside. And outwardly, the Pharisees appeared to be very spiritual. They fasted, they prayed, they tithed, they preached, they wore garments that had scriptures hanging from them. How could you do that and not be spiritual? And so really, from verse 21 through just about the entire rest of this chapter, Jesus is explaining what he means. And what he means is, your righteousness has to extend beyond the outward, beyond the externals. He's talking about the heart. Because we know because of Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees, that their hearts were desperately wicked. Now, all of our hearts are desperately wicked. But the scribes and Pharisees wanted you to believe that their hearts were righteous, and they were not. And so what Jesus does here is he clarifies some misunderstandings that the Jewish people had in regards to the Old Testament law. It says, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And that's found in the scriptures. That's one of the Ten Commandments. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. If they were to kill someone, if they were to murder someone, their life would be taken from them, according to Old Testament law. But I say unto you, notice Jesus is going to take this further and he's going to apply it to their life, because probably most people that were listening to him, they probably had never really murdered anyone. Not openly and not literally and physically. But he's going to apply this principle beyond that. He's going to apply it to the heart. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. He says the same principle that says thou shalt not kill says you shouldn't be angry with your brother without a cause. That same emotion, that same condition of the heart that makes us get angry with people for no reason is the same emotion, is the same condition of the heart that that motivates someone to kill another human being. And so what Jesus is saying, it's not just wrong to murder. It's wrong to be angry at your brother in your heart without a cause. And by the way, God gets to define whether or not it's a justifiable cause. One of my children said, I like that little phrase, without a cause. Because, of course, they're never angry at their brother unless they have a cause. But I don't have time to distinguish when it's a just cause and when it's not. Just know this, when your heart is filled with hatred and anger and bitterness towards another individual, your heart is just as black at that moment as the heart of the Pharisees. And the Bible says you are in danger of judgment. You are in danger of hell. Notice the rest of the verse. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that is, thou fool, shall be in danger of the council, going before the council and being judged. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. It's not saying you'll go to hell, but it's saying this speaks of a condition of the heart that's foreign to someone who's truly been born again. I tell my kids, as we talked about this, sometimes I'm driving and I'm by myself, and I guess when you're by yourself you'll tend to do and say things that you wouldn't if there were other people around, but you know, slow people get in your way and stuff, or they cut you off and you want to say, you dummy. And every time I do that, this verse pops to mind. Every time I do that, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And so I try to break myself of that habit. It's a very bad habit. I guess if you do it in jest, no big deal, but if your heart is truly filled with anger and you lash out at a person and call them a name, you're guilty of spiritual murder, if you will. Murder of the heart. Again, see how sometimes we really just don't understand the depths of our sin. Because this declares every one of us guilty. Who goes to hell? Those that follow after the strange woman. Who goes to hell? Those that are angry with their brother without a cause. Who goes to hell? Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20. It says, then began he, Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethesda! For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Jesus, he did most of his mighty works here in Chorazin, in Bethesda, in Capernaum. And even though the inhabitants of these cities saw the mighty works of Jesus Christ, they rejected him and failed to repent of their sins. Recall this morning's message. Repentance is necessary for salvation. These people didn't repent, even though Jesus had performed many mighty works in their midst. And people who don't repent and people who don't respond to the revelation that God gives them of the person of Jesus Christ will go to hell. That's who the Bible says goes to hell. In Matthew chapter 23, again, a passage we're all familiar with, Jesus' rebuke of the scribes and Pharisees. Let me just read you a couple of verses, since most of you know the context. In verse 15, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Jesus is clear, not just this once, but multiple times in this chapter, that the scribes and Pharisees are headed for hell. Why? Because they were hypocrites. Again, that's the one word that sticks out when we think of the scribes and the Pharisees. Hypocrites. That's what Jesus calls them over and over and over again in this chapter. They had many faults. They supplanted the primary teachings of the Bible with their own traditions. But again, when you think of the scribes and Pharisees, you think of a group of people that were a bunch of hypocrites. They pretended to be something that they weren't. And people who pretend to be righteous when they know that their heart is as sin as could be, sinful as could be, they're headed to hell. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people," that is, the people of Israel. We've got record of that in the Old Testament. "Even as there shall be false teachers among you." We have false teachers in our midst today. It says, "Who privily," that is, they'll introduce, "shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And notice it also says, "And many shall follow their pernicious," their destructive ways. You know, this same group of false teachers is talked about in the book of Jude, the book just prior to the Revelation. It says in verse 4 of that book, "And there, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, this is the same group of false teachers. They both deny the Lord. And here it says they teach licentiousness. They teach that God's grace is more or less a license to sin. And as a result of their false teachings, the Bible says they are headed for hell. You see, the Bible is very specific about who goes to hell. The man that follows the strange woman is on his way to hell. The man that is angry with his brother without a cause is going to hell. Those that reject God's revelation, like those cities such as Bethesda and Chorazin, are going to hell. The hypocrites are going to hell. Those that teach false doctrine are going to hell. Let me quote to you a couple of other passages of Scripture that you'll be familiar with. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Don't fool yourselves into thinking anything different. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Don't fool yourself. People who habitually commit these types of sins are headed for hell. We pick on the homosexual. Perhaps that's because that's the fight that's going on currently within our society. And we ought to pick on the homosexual, if you want to say it that way. Because if he doesn't repent of his sin, he's going to end up in hell. But the adulterer is headed to hell too. And the drunkard is headed to hell too. You know, I know people, and I bet you do too, who outwardly profess to be Christians, who even go to church on Sundays, maybe not every Sunday, but when they come home from work during the week, every day they're drinking their liquor. Every day. The weekend is just another opportunity for them to get drunk. Now, what do they call them? A functioning alcoholic? A functioning drunkard? You know, we make these terms up, I guess, to make the sinner feel better. We call them alcoholics, but they're drunkards. We say they got addictions when they're just old-fashioned sinners. We call it ADHD when a child can't sit still, but really it's just, I don't know, what would you call that sin? It's a lack of discipline, amen, on the part of the parents most of the time. The drunkard. Is he saved? He says he's saved. Is that possible? It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" That means they're going to hell. It troubles me greatly whenever it's family members of mine who exhibit these characteristics on a consistent basis. And yet when you talk to them, "Brad, I'm saved. We're all just sinners." Well, but the Bible tells me that if you habitually commit sin like this, that this is your being, you're not saved. It says you're headed to hell. Galatians chapter 5 really says the same thing. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, envyings, murders, drunkenness," all kinds of things here. And it says, "and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." You know, I don't know if it's our human nature, but we know people that habitually commit adultery, and yet because we love them and they tell us they're saved, we tend to believe them. But you know, their testimony is not in harmony with the Scriptures. I don't know what we do about that. I guess quote to them these verses. Say, how can that be possible? Now I know what verse 11 says of 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." Yeah. "But ye are sanctified," that is, you're set apart, you're justified. In other words, you've been changed, you've repented of your sin, and you've turned from it. But some people, they haven't repented of their sin. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because they're still in it. Like the pig, they went back to the pig pen. Like the dog, they went back to their vomit. And that's not what happens to somebody who's truly saved. And I tell you what, folks, we just need to get on our knees in regards to some people and their professions. Because they seem to think they're saved. But the testimony of Scripture leads me to conclude that how can... And again, I don't want to improperly judge individuals, but that's what all these soft preachers say too when they're asked about who goes to hell. Well, the Bible says if you're a fornicator, you're an adulterer, you're effeminate, you're a homosexual that isn't abusers of yourself with mankind, you're going to hell unless you repent. The Bible very clearly tells us who's going to hell. Matter of fact, there are some specific individuals that the book of the Revelation tells us are going to end up in hell, and I use that term to refer to the lake of fire as well. I think most of us know that hell is a temporary place for the lost until the great white throne judgment where death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. But Satan in Revelation 20:10 is cast into the lake of fire. The beast and the false prophet are both in the lake of fire. The fallen angels, according to 2 Peter 2:4, are in hell. And all of the unsaved that are at the great white throne judgment, according to Revelation 20:15 and 21:8, are cast into the lake of fire. And yet when preachers are asked, who goes to hell? Well, I just leave that up to God. Well, God's already told us who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. And so we ought not to be afraid to answer that question. I realize what will happen if a preacher answers that question truthfully. He will be marginalized. You understand what I mean? You know what a margin is, right? It's out on the edges of the paper. And so when you say what the Bible says about hell and who's going there, since that's not what most people believe in our society, they see you as an extremist. And so they marginalize you and say, well, you're an extremist, you're a radical, you're way out on the fringes, and so what you believe and say doesn't matter anyway. And so since preachers want to be effective sometimes in their witness for the Lord, they don't just come out and be truthful and honest because they know that will reduce their impact for the cause of Christ. They're more of a pragmatist than a purist. But I think if some of us will stand up and be purist and say what the truth is, if enough of us do that, then pretty soon they'll be forced to deal with us because they'll see that this is not a lunatic fringe. This is people who believe what the Bible says on the subject of hell. And we better come to grasp with what the Bible says about hell, because this is an important subject. Yes, it's sobering, but it's one of those subjects that if we'll get a hold of, it can change our life, because it can cause us to reach out in a much more fervent way to people who are lost. So who goes to hell? Those who follow after the strange woman. Those who are angry with their brother without a cause. Those who reject God's revelation. Those who are hypocrites. Those who teach false doctrine. And those who habitually commit sin. And as I said at the beginning of this message, ultimately, those who go to hell are those who have not believed, that is, trusted in the person and work of Jesus Christ. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. If you will believe God, just believe what He has said in this book about His Son, Jesus Christ, you can be saved. But if you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for you, you too, like many of the individuals we just mentioned, will go to hell. And you don't want that. So if you're not saved, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for this sobering warning about who it is that will go to hell. And Lord, it doesn't give us any joy. It doesn't give us any gladness to know that anyone is going to hell. Lord, I believe all of us as Your people should adopt Your feelings in regards to this subject, and that is that all would repent and turn to Jesus. And we know that that's your desire, that that's your will. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, that's my desire. I believe that's the desire of all the people that are present here in this room. But God, help our feelings and desires for people not to get in the way of what your word says. Many there be which, many, the Bible says, take that broad way into hell. And God, help us to do our best to save some from an eternal punishment there. Help us to, in regards to some, show compassion that they can be saved. And as the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, others to pull them, grabbing them out of the fire. God, help us and awaken us as we understand what the Bible teaches about hell. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that isn't saved, may the Holy Ghost woo them unto Jesus Christ. May they be born into thy family. God, help us to be bold in this day and age in which we live. Though people will mock us for believing the Bible, though they will marginalize us, though they will ridicule us, help us to continue to speak the truth. And God, give us the grace to speak it in love. And may you be glorified as a result. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to 299. Almost persuaded.